My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
All right, welcome back to another episode of The Mark Moss Show, where we are talking about Bitcoin, we're talking about cryptocurrencies, we're talking about the decentralized revolution, and I'm trying to give you the play-by-play to help bring context to what is going on in the world today. We talk about politics, we talk about finance, we talk about technology, because if you look at any one of these on their own, it's hard to understand the bigger picture of what's going on. You have to look at all three of them together. And so each week we'll jump into those different topics. Sometimes more finance, sometimes more politics, sometimes more tech, but always about the monetary revolution, the technological revolution that we are going through right now. And speaking of that, we have I hate to use these types of hyperbole, but we've almost never needed it as bad as we need it right now. Almost never needed it as bad as we need it right now. For a number of reasons, I've talked extensively about what's going on with Russia, Ukraine, how the loss of trust and how we're the financial system is changing. We talked about Canada, how all those people got kicked out of the financial system for doing something that was, you know, legal, whatever. But when I say that the which has never been more real as to why we need it. And the reason why is because this week, the whole world sat and watched and waited, like literally like held their breath, sat on their fingers, waited patiently to hear what Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, which is the central bank of the United States, had to say. Kind of like Groundhog Day, where everybody watches for the groundhog to come out. What's his name? Punxsutawney Bill or whatever. So it's kind of like that. Everybody's watching and waiting to see what happens with that. And here we have everybody watching and waiting to see what the Federal Reserve, what Jerome Powell is going to do. Think about that. The entire world fixated on the words of one man to find out what the fate, what their fate is. Like literally. Is he going to increase the money supply and put us all back into this inflationary bust? Will prices go up more? Will my business do better? Will my assets continue to rise? Or will he cut rates and cut money injection? And will we see things get more expensive? Will my real estate crash? Will my business fail? Live or die? All off one guy. The words of one man. I mean, that's literally where we're at, which is just insane. It's like, what happens if the Fed does quantitative tightening, QT? What happens if the Fed starts quantitative easing again? Will they raise rates? Will they raise them 50 basis points or 75 basis points? Or only will they only go 25? Will they reverse course? I mean, it's just like our fate, my fate, your fate, the fate of the world lies in the hands of what he's going to do. Now, it's the words of one man. He's the face, he's the name, he's the voice. Obviously, there's a committee there. There's 12. So our whole world's in the fate of 12 people. So that's better, right? And when I say that it's never been more important than now is because it just highlights the insanity of where we're at. I mean, literally, one guy or 12 guys could like literally change the fate, and there's girls too, but could change the direction of the world, could change whether I go bankrupt or I get rich. I mean, it's literally that crazy. So anyway, he came out and talked, and the markets reacted favorably, as a matter of fact. It says markets cheer after Jerome Powell downplays even larger rate hikes. So because inflation is raging so high. Now, I've gone many times into the education piece of this. Typically, we think of inflation as prices going up. I like to make the distinction, the definition that the prices going up are the result of inflation. They are not inflation on their own. The result of inflation. Inflation is caused by increasing the money supply. So the Federal Reserve, the United States, increased the money supply by over 40% in the last 2 years. When you have more money chasing the same amount of goods and services, or in this case, less goods and services because supply chains and people not working, etc. So you have more money chasing less goods. So what happens? The price of those goods go up. It's always divisible. You take all the goods and services of the world divided by all the money of the world. If you increase the money supply and you decrease the amount of goods, but you keep and you still divide it, the price of those goods goes up. That's how it works. So the price, the money supply went up by 40%. The price of your home went up 40% on average. Rents went up 40% on average over 2 years. Used cars are up 40% on average, right? So that's how that works. So he wants to combat inflation. We must stop prices from going up. Oil or gas is too expensive. People are mad. Food's too expensive. I have to do something. So what do I do? Well, we'll decrease the money supply. We increased it, right? We increased it. We created all this new money, which then created all this new business and all this new buying. And consumers are buying all these things. They're buying all these cars, so prices go up. So what's the solution? Well, let's just take the money back out. Sounds fair, right? They do that through two ways. What they're talking about here was raising interest rates. So interest rates are the cost of money. So what does that mean? Well, you may not think about this, but money is a medium of exchange. It helps you buy things. I can take my money. I can take $1,000 and I can go buy an iPhone. I could also buy money though. With that same iPhone, I could buy $1,000. See how that works? Now, let's say that I was a business owner and I wanted to go create a new product. I wanted to expand my business. I wanted to buy some new trucks, some new delivery trucks, or some new equipment for my business, right? But you know what? I can't really afford to finance it because the rates are too high. But if they lower the interest rates, my payment goes down. Now I can afford to do it. So by lowering the interest rates, more people buy stuff. You buy more equipment, you buy that new building, you buy that new house. And so all that money, we live in a debt-based system, so our money is created through debt issuance. So the Fed doesn't just print money. The banks actually create the money by loaning it into existence. And so when we take loans out, that money is created. The bank doesn't have that $500,000 or $1 million to give me for the house, but when they give me the loan for the house, that $1 million is created. That's how that works. And so if they raise the rates, then less people borrow, right? And so if less people borrow, there's less money being created. less money created. There's less people buying goods and services. And so then the idea is that you have less people buying the same amount of goods and services and the price goes down. A few weeks ago, I had my 13-year-old daughter on here. We kind of played a game and I said, if there was 10 houses, or I said first, if there was one house for sale, but there was 10 buyers, what do you think would happen? She said the price would go up. Yeah, because those 10 people are going to bid for that house. If there was 10 houses for sale, but only one buyer, what happens? Well, the price of the home goes down. And so that's exactly what they're trying to do here. And so we've known this. They've already raised the rates once, and the market was expecting them to raise the rates pretty high. But as I said, the headline here says that the markets cheer because they downplay even larger rate hikes. So they did raise rates, but they raised them less than what many people were expecting. The markets are what we call discounting mechanisms. They're always trying to guess what's going to happen in the future. So they're trying to guess that this stock will be higher in the future or lower in the future, whatever. And so they are already pricing these rate increases in. And so when they came in less than what we expected, that was good. The market cheered. We saw the stocks going up. We saw Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies rallying. And it says that Fed Jerome Powell downplayed the likelihood of an even larger rate hike after announcing the sharpest rate increase since 2000. Good news. It delayed how fast it's going to suck the money back out of the system for us. The S&P climbed 3%, the best day since May of 2020. We saw the Dow jump 2.8% and the NASDAQ climbed 3.2%. As I said, Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies went up on the news as well. Hooray, they've saved it, right? Or have they? But like I said, this highlights the insanity that we hang on one guy's word. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about what Powell really said. I'm going to summarize what he said and what it really means for you and for your business and for your money. I'm going to go in and talk about something called the Austrian business cycle, which warned us about this type of thing happening. And then I want to talk about what Warren Buffett had to say about all of this. When I come back, you're listening to the Mark Moss Show, talking about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, the financial system. I'll be back with all of that and more. Don't go away.
My dad works in B2B marketing. But I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, the decentralized revolution, trying to explain the world that's unfolding before our very eyes. And we're talking about today, right now, about the Federal Reserve. The U.S. Central Bank came out. The whole world was waiting to hear what Jerome Powell had to say. And the market liked what he had to say. I started talking about the insanity that the entire world is fixated on the words of one man. Our fate literally lies in the hands of one person. It's insane. But the market was expecting it to be much worse. They thought they were going to increase rates, which would then decrease the money supply a lot faster. And if I summarize what he said, so by increasing the rates, as I said, then people borrow less. When people borrow less, they will buy less equipment for their business, less trucks, less buildings, less houses. They'll buy less things. So basically, he says the demand for your labor is too high, so we have to reduce the demand, so therefore we can reduce your wages, because we don't want inflation to keep going higher. So in order for price to go high, we need to control the demand. And how do we control the demand? We control the demand by taking the money out. If you don't have as much money, you won't buy as many things. If you don't buy as many things, the prices don't go up as much. That's effectively what he's saying. It's just insanity. But digging back into this some more, like I said, it says the Federal Reserve delivered the biggest interest rate increase since 2000 and signaled it would keep hiking at that pace over the next couple of meetings, unleashing the most aggressive policy action in decades to combat soaring inflation. I mean, they're on it. They're on it. He went on to say, it says that it will begin allowing its holdings of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities to decline in June at an initial combined monthly pace of $47.5 billion, stepping up over 3 months to $95 billion. So in addition to lowering the interest rates, so you would borrow more, when you borrow more, it creates more money, they were also buying treasuries and buying mortgage-backed securities, which of course props up the market. And they say they're going to start letting them roll off. They're going to start, that's quantitative tightening. They're going to start tightening their balance sheet. It says, a quote from Jerome Powell, "Inflation is much too high and we understand the hardship it's causing and we are moving expeditiously to bring it back down," he says. And as I said, this ignited the strongest stock market rally that they've seen in over 20 years. It's insane. When they raised rates, and like I said, it's just because people thought they were going to raise them more than they did. But like I said, this just highlights the insanity of the entire world waiting and hanging and on every single word that, like, Jerome Powell says. They increase the money supply. The economy blows up. Everything's good. You buy new trucks. You buy new equipment. You expand your business. You get that new building. You buy that new house. You send your kids to college. You get a new credit card. Everything's good. And then all of a sudden, let's just suck the money right back out. Oh, and then all the money's gone. And then everything falls apart again. That's why we're waiting on this guy's word. But how insane is that? Now, this was talked about in something called the Austrian Business Cycle Theory. Now, if you're not familiar with what that means, Austrian business cycle, you should be, but many people aren't. If you have gone to college and you've gotten a degree in economics, you most likely haven't even heard of the Austrian School of Economics. So most colleges, I mean, basically the way the Western world, Europe and America work, really the world, works on something more called a Keynesian economics. Keynesian believes that the government should spend, the government should print money, should create money out of thin air to stimulate the economies, to get the economy through the markets, through these boom and bust cycle, to prevent the boom and bust cycle. The problem is we have now 100 years of data doing this. John Maynard Keynes is the father of the Keynesian School of Economics, and that came out around World War One, creation of the Fed. World War II is really where it went into place, but right around there. So we have about 100 years of this policy. And if I could show you a chart right now, which I can't, if I could show you a chart right now, you would see, going back for a couple hundred years, the boom and bust cycle. And what you'd see very clearly, like day and night, is that from the time the Federal Reserve was created in 1913, the boom and bust cycles have only gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. They've created the boom and bust cycles. Their goal is to prevent them. But if you look at a chart, there's no disputing the data. They've only gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And we would have known this if we would have followed the Austrian business cycle theory, which would have told us this. The Austrian business, the Austrian economics was kind of headed up by Ludwig von Mises, one of my favorite authors, F.A. Hayek. He won the Nobel Prize in economics in 1974. But yet, most people who get degrees in economics have never heard of him. They don't know anything about him. So the Austrian business cycle was an economic theory developed by the Austrian School of Economics on how business cycles occur. The theory views business cycles as the consequence of excessive growth in bank credit due to artificially low interest rates set by a central bank. Sound familiar? So this is Austrian economics. I mean, most of this was written over 100 years ago. They warned us about this. Specifically, does that sound familiar? The business cycle is the consequences of excessive growth. The economy grew too fast because bank credit was artificially low. Interest rates were artificially set by the bank to be low. The Austrian business cycle theory originated in the work of Austrian school economist Ludwig von Mises, Friedrich Hayek. Hayek won the Nobel Prize in economics in 1974. These are not crackpot people. This is not some crackpot theory. He literally won the Nobel Prize in economics in 1974 for this, in part for his work on this theory. In fact, proponents believe that a sustained period of low interest rates and excessive credit creation from fractional reserve banks result in a volatile and unstable imbalance between saving and investment. So proponents believe that a sustained period of low interest rates. So what did we just say that Jerome Powell and the Federal Reserve did? They raised rates. They kept rates too low for too long. Everyone says that they should have raised the rates sooner. They've kept them too low for too long. What does this Austrian school say? It says that a period of low interest rates and excessive credit creation from result in a volatile and unstable imbalance between saving and investment. So that's exactly what we have right now. According to the theory, the business cycle unfolds in the following way. Low interest rates from the banks tend to stimulate borrowing. Of course, that's what I've just been saying, right? Which lead to an increase in capital spending. So now you take that money, you buy that new equipment, that new truck, that new building. Funded by newly issued bank credit. So the bank gives you that credit. They create that money to an existence. Proponents hold that a credit-sourced boom results in widespread malinvestment. Malinvestment, bad investment. Meaning you're taking this money and you're just putting it everywhere. Easy money, right? You probably didn't need that new truck or that new car, that new piece of equipment, that new house, but you did anyway. Because the money was so easy, there was so much of it, you just start putting it anywhere. It creates malinvestment. I want to break down more of this, what the credit crunch is, what leads to the recession, and what the cure for this is. Don't worry, there's hope, there's a cure. I'll talk about that. And then I want to get into Warren Buffett, and they had their big Berkshire Hathaway meeting this week. I want to talk about what he said as well. That and more. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show, talking about Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, and of course, the economy right now. I got a lot more to go, so do not go away. I'm going to be right back.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about Bitcoin, decentralized revolution. We're talking about finance, politics, technology, all of those three converging right now to help make sense of what we're going through in the world today. And we were talking about the whole world this week was hanging on the word of Jerome Powell from the Federal Reserve, the United States Central Bank, wanting to know what would happen. Would he increase rates? Would he decrease rates? Why does everybody care about that? Because your fate literally hangs in the balance. Will your business succeed? Will it fail? Will you go bankrupt? Will your house go up in value? Will your house go down in value? And so much more. All depends on him. And I was explaining how the Austrian business cycle theory explained this to us a hundred years ago, saying that a sustained period of low interest rates and excessive credit creation from the banks would result in a volatile and unstable imbalance between saving and investment. And of course, if you look back over the last 100 years since the Federal Reserve was created in 1913, that's what we have. Each boom and bust gets bigger and bigger and bigger, not smaller. And then all that money, that credit-sourced boom, results in widespread malinvestment, meaning they just buy a bunch of stuff they don't need. They invest into bad stuff that nobody wants. Some of it's not their fault. A correction or credit crunch, commonly called a recession or a bust, occurs when the credit creation has run its course. All right. A correction or a credit crunch called a recession or a bust occurs when the credit creation has run its course. So credit creates leverage. It allows us to lever up really fast. It allows me, instead of buying one house, because I had to save for a long time to buy one house, I can go buy five houses. And now five houses have to be built and all those people have to work, all those supplies, et cetera. Instead of one truck, I can go buy five trucks, right? Credit allows me to do that. The problem is just as fast as it levers up, it also levers back down. And so that's what they're saying. When it runs its course, you get this recession or the bust, the money supply then contracts or its growth slows, causing a curative recession and eventually allowing resources to be reallocated back towards their formal uses. So as the money supply contracts or shrinks, then you know the credit that has been created disappears, and eventually it allows resources to go back to where it should go, right? Now, the Austrian explanation of the business cycle differs significantly from the mainstream understanding of business cycles and is generally rejected by mainstream economists on both theoretical and empirical grounds, which is interesting. I'm reading this from Wikipedia. Of course, you know which way Wikipedia leans on this. However, they can say that. They can be generally rejected by mainstream economists. That's fine. Let them reject it. As I said, most people who got degrees in economics from college don't even know about Austrian School of Economics. They've rejected it, but it doesn't change it from being true. If you look at it, like I said, you could look back at the data. You'll see right at 1913 is when the booms and busts started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Why 1913? That's when the central bank, the Federal Reserve, was created. That's when they started creating money, That's what led to the Great Depression. They want to tell you that the gold standard is what caused the Great Depression because we couldn't expand the money supply. No, that's not true. They printed way too much money. It's always about printing money and then pulling it back out, which is a big problem, which is why the whole world hangs on every word from Jerome Powell. Because is he going to increase the money supply or decrease it? And it's insane. And that's why I like to talk about Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a system that nobody can control. It's not about taking it from one set of people who are bad and giving it to another set of people that are good. No, it's about creating a system that nobody can control. How about nobody increases the money supply or decreases the money supply? Why do we increase and decrease the money supply? So we can just constantly have booms and busts? Now, if you're in on it, it's very good for you. It's what we call the Cantillon effect. The Cantillon effect states that whoever's closest to the money supply has the advantage. So it probably come as no surprise to you that the Federal Reserve was trading. They got busted for insider trading. And in November, they decided to sell all their stocks so there wouldn't be any conflict of interest. That's what they said. We're going to sell all our stocks so there's not a conflict of interest. Well, it just so happened that was the peak of the cycle. Booms and busts are really good. Volatile is really good if you know how to play it. If I can sell at the top, buy back in at the bottom, sell at the top, buy back in at the bottom, it works really good for me. Because I know if I know what's going on. But if I'm like you, me and you, the average person, we don't know. We're just stuck at the whims. Our lives are literally in the balance of this. Now, speaking of Bitcoin, Warren Buffett, one of the most well-known investors in the world, had his annual meeting, Berkshire Hathaway meeting, and he had a lot to say about Bitcoin. As a matter of fact, Warren Buffett and his partner, Charlie Munger, they both sat up there. Now, I'm just going to start off by saying that I really respect these two. I quote Charlie Munger a lot. He has a lot of good quotes. I learned a lot from Warren Buffett as well. But that doesn't mean that they can't say some pretty wacky stuff. So he said that, quote, it's not a productive asset and it doesn't produce anything tangible, talking about Bitcoin. And he's right. And he said the same thing about gold too. Gold doesn't produce anything. And he said that the same thing here. He said, quote, whether it goes up or down in the next year or 5 or 10 years, I don't know. But one thing I'm pretty sure of is that it doesn't produce anything. And it doesn't. Gold doesn't produce anything. Dollars don't produce anything. Bitcoin doesn't produce anything. It's a place that you can save your money. Warren Buffett likes to buy businesses. He's famous for buying Coca-Cola. He likes Coca-Cola because it's a capital-efficient business. All they do is sell syrup. They sell the syrup to the distributors who then have to make the soda. So they don't have to put any money into R&D. They just have their brand. They sell the syrup. That's it. They create soda. He likes See's Candy. He bought See's Candy. Same thing. See's Candy produces candy. They produce a product. He likes those things. That's what he says. I'm pretty sure is that it doesn't produce anything. So Warren Buffett doesn't like gold because gold doesn't produce anything. And I say that because that's part of, you have to understand that nuance. Warren Buffett doesn't like to save money. He doesn't like to hold cash. He doesn't like to hold gold. And of course, he doesn't like to hold Bitcoin for the same way. However, he goes even deeper than that. And this is where I have a little bit of a bone to pick with him. He said, if you said for a 1% interest in all the farmland of the United States, pay our group $25 billion, he said, I'll write you a check this afternoon. He said, for $25 billion, I now own 1% of the farmland. If you offer me 1% of all the apartment houses in the country and you want $25 billion, I'll write you a check for that too. It's simple. But if you told me I could own all the Bitcoin in the world for $25, so right now it's about $800 billion, he said, if I could get it for $25, I wouldn't take it because what would I do with it? I'd have to sell it back to you one way or another. It isn't going to do anything. The apartments are going to produce rent. The farms are going to produce food. So he's right. But you're not going to take $800 billion worth of goods for $25. That's pretty crazy. He said, in my life, I try and avoid things that are... before I read that part, I want to read you another quote. He said, assets to have value have to deliver something to somebody. and there's only one currency that accepted. So assets to have value have to deliver something to somebody. I don't know about that. I mean, gold, if I hold gold, that's an asset. Commodities are assets, wheat, palladium, platinum, those are assets. I can store my wealth there. But then he goes on to say that there's only one currency that accepted, and you can come up with all kinds of things. So first of all, there's only one currency that accepted. There's like hundreds of currencies. There's like almost 200 currencies in the world. So I don't know where he's getting there's only one currency. That's pretty crazy. Again, he's old. He's over 90, I believe, so give him a break. man, you won't even believe the rest he said. And then what him and Munger said, it's just shocking. I'm going to tell you about that and more in a minute. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about the decentralized revolution. We're talking about what the Federal Reserve just said, what that meant. And I'm telling you what one of the most well-known investors in the world had to say this week about Bitcoin. I have that and more when I come back in a minute. So do not go away. I'll be right back.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about cryptocurrency. We're talking about the decentralized revolution. We've been talking about the Fed, the Central Bank of the United States got together, Jerome Powell. The whole world was waiting to hear what he was going to say. They decided to raise rates, the most they've raised them in over two decades. But the markets rallied because it wasn't as bad as what people were expecting. So that was pretty good. I went on to explain how insane that is, that the whole world has to wait for one guy to hear what the fate of their what their fate is. I went on to explain the Austrian school of business cycle theory, how it predicted all this. And now I was talking about Warren Buffett and his meeting that he had this week at Berkshire Hathaway and what he had to say about Bitcoin. And he said, going on to what he said, there's only one currency that's accepted, which, as I said, is ridiculous because there's almost 200 currencies around the world. He said, you can come up with all kinds of things. We can put up a Berkshire coin, but in the end, this is money, he said, and he was holding up a $20 bill. So he said, we can make a Berkshire coin, but in the end, this is money. Well, okay. He says, there's no reason in the world why the United States government is going to let Berkshire money replace theirs. Well, okay, part of the reason why he has this very U.S.-centric view. So the world's a big place, 8 billion people. The United States makes up about 350 million of the 8 billion people. The United States is a small percentage by population of the world. not a majority. Now, the world, the dollar is the reserve currency of the world. I'll get that. And, you know, it's the financial center of the world and on and on and on. But as I said, there's over 200 currencies. So for him to say he holds up a $20 bill and says only this is money, the United States isn't going to let anyone replace theirs. Well, what about the other 200 currencies that the United States government allows to be out there? So the reasoning there is just insane, in my opinion. I mean, it's just completely wrong. Like I said, maybe it's U.S.-centric. What he could maybe say is that the United States government would never allow anyone to use it. And the United States could certainly make it illegal. They could say if we catch anybody with it, we'll kill them on sight. But that wouldn't stop other people from using it in other parts of the world, right? Why would they care? They let other people use other currencies in the world. They don't kill everybody. They can't do that. And of course, then we can get into like, is it even feasible? Of course, we can talk about the war on drugs. They've made the war on drugs for the last 50 years. They've spent trillions of dollars on this war on drugs, and drugs are a bigger problem today. They're bigger business today than they ever were. Drugs have to be grown and cultivated and processed and packaged and shipped and smuggled and distributed. And they can't stop that. How are they going to stop something anonymous and digital? So there's that. And then we could get into where the government doesn't want to. I could go on for another hour telling you why the government doesn't want to. As a matter of fact, lots of politicians are running on pro-Bitcoin platforms. As a matter of fact, one in Ohio, I believe, just got elected in the midterms, not the midterms, in the primaries just this week. Texas is running on it. Several states are now accepting payments in Bitcoin. So I don't think they want to. So I think that's a little bit wrong. But this last part is where it really got me. Of course, like I said, Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger, his partner Charlie Munger, both of them sat up on the stage taking these questions. And, you know, famously in the past, Buffett said, Bitcoin is probably rat poison squared, which, okay, whatever that means. Munger doubled down on that sentiment. So what did he say? He said, quote, in my life, I try and avoid things that are stupid and evil and make me look bad in comparison to somebody else. Okay, that's not bad. I don't want to do things that are stupid. I don't want to do things that are evil. I don't want to look bad either, right? He says, Bitcoin does all three. Huh. All right, that's weird. He says, quote, in the first place, it's stupid because it's still likely to go to zero. Okay, so it's been the best performing asset in the world for the last 12 years. could it go to zero? Sure, it could. What's the probability that that happens? Probably very small, but it could. But he says, it would make me look stupid because it's probably going to go to zero anyway. Well, probably not in his lifetime because he's probably not going to be alive that much longer. He's pretty old. He says it's evil because it undermines the Federal Reserve System. So there is part of where he's coming from. The third part is what I'm really going to talk about, but we'll talk about this one for a minute. It undermines the Federal Reserve System. So as we were talking about, the Federal Reserve System creates the booms and busts. The Federal Reserve increases the money supply, creates these massive booms, and if you play it right, you get filthy rich. But then they suck the money back out, they raise the rates, et cetera, which crashes the market, and then you lose everything, unless you know how to sell at the top and buy back in at the bottom. Now, as I said, the insiders, the Cantillon effect, the people closest to the money supply have that advantage. They know when that's going to happen. That's why, you know, Nancy Pelosi is worth, you know, I don't know if she's a billionaire. I have to look it up. She's worth a couple hundred million, I believe. And she's been making a couple hundred thousand dollars as a salary. It's why these politicians, why the Federal Reserve sold at the top. And they said, oh, it's a conflict of interest. Warren Buffett is that guy. Warren Buffett works with the government to loan them money to buy companies out that are deemed too big to fail, to buy them out. So it undermines the Federal Reserve System. That's his quote. It's evil because it undermines the system that's made us rich. It's evil because it undermines the system that allows us to get filthy rich. And haha, you peasants, how dare you take away a system that allows us to get filthy rich? That's what he said. It's evil because it undermines the Federal Reserve System. That's why I left this part for last, because I wanted to explain to you how insane this Federal Reserve System is. And then he said, third, this is the part that really gets me. It makes us look foolish compared to the communist leader in China. He was smart enough to ban Bitcoin in China. Wow. So here we have one of the richest guys in the world. One of the richest guys in the United States. Got rich in America from the American system. the America that stands for freedom, you know, the country that allows you to have freedom to do whatever you want to do, allows capitalism for businesses to make a bunch of money. That country that gave freedom. And here he is praising communism. A communism that doesn't allow anyone to get rich. He was smart enough to ban Bitcoin in China. So we should be a communist country? We should just tell people that they can't do stuff that we don't like? Because in a free country, you're able to do whatever you want to do. As long as it doesn't hurt somebody else, obviously. As long as there's not laws that have been put against it. Of course, we have more and more laws happening all the time, which I'm not for. I'm for small government. Let the government get out of the way. Let us do our thing. And if I want to store all my wealth in seashells or in rice or in palm leaves or bananas or Bitcoin, what difference does it make? I live in a free country. Can't I put my money into whatever I want? It's not hurting anybody. If I store all my money in rice or bananas, if I buy old cars or fancy paintings, what difference does it make? I want to buy Bitcoin, so what? Oh, no, we should ban it. We should tell the people what they can and can't do because, back to point number two, it undermines the Federal Reserve System, which has allowed us to get filthy rich. So, you know, I'll kind of end this with just saying a little bit of critical thinking, and this is where most people lack today. They lack critical thinking. Whenever you get a piece of information, it was hard to get information before. Now we have too much information. You want to understand a couple things. One, who is telling me this information? What motives might they have in telling me this information? And what are the facts versus what is the narrative? Okay, so who's telling me? Charlie Munger, one of the richest people in the world. A person that's benefited from this system that's made him extremely rich and made us extremely poor. It's benefited a system that creates, continues to make the rich richer and the poor poorer. He benefits from that because he's an insider. So that's who he is. That's what his motivations are. That's where he's coming from. Now, what facts has he given me? He's given me none. I guess the fact is that China did ban it. Okay, well, they banned the mining. That might be a little bit of fact. The rest is all narrative. It's going to make me look foolish because it's going to go to zero. It's evil because it undermines the system that's made me rich. And we should be more like communism, and we should just ban everything. Anyway, hopefully that gives you some context. You've been listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about Bitcoin. We're talking about the decentralized revolution. We're talking about why we need a new monetary system to get away from the dollar system that we have today. Hopefully that makes sense. Thanks so much for listening.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.